Oh, what should I do? What should I do? People disagree with me. I know, duck and cover. But when you're saying it, hiding under your desk, say data, data, data. I'm looking at the data. I see the data. It smells like Seattle Spirit.
We have a lot of data, the way we get data and analyze data. What we do know from looking at the data is the data is very clear.
With apologies to my friend and colleague, Dory Monson. I guess someone just texted me, oh, you're going to rip off Dory? I didn't get to hear Dory's monologue today. Did he talk about the leadership thing, too? I listened to Dory's show a lot. I didn't get to hear it. So if I'm ripping Dory off, Dory was unintentional. Not that you listen to the show. You're the big dog. Why would you listen to the show? Jelly Durka. This is just phenomenal. And can I just point something out about this Carmen Best situation? All of a sudden... Carmen Best is back up into the top three and is now said by the Seattle Times to be leading to be the police chief in Seattle.
With McClay out, Carmen Best, the interim chief of police at SPD, is back in. She was excluded from the finalist group, which drew intense backlash among the community.
I think the average police officer assumed that Chief Best was going to be our next chief.
Best has spent her entire police career at SPD and has served as interim chief since the first of the year. She rounds out the set of three finalists along with Eddie Frizzell, an inspector for the Minneapolis Police Department, and Eli Reese, assistant chief of the Austin Police Department.
Don't drop that dirt, dirt. Hey, don't drop that dirt, dirt.
So she doesn't want Chief Best and sets her to the side. Chief Best, and Durka even said... That's, oh, no, Carmen doesn't want the job. And then Carmen Best said, well, no, wait, I love the city. I think I'd love to have the job. That's why I applied to be in the job. Can we play a little game together, you and I? Make that sound in your head where there's a cheesy dream sequence and they go back in time on a TV show. Now, replace Jelly Durka with a white man. Got that? Replace Jelly Durka with a white man and make him a Republican.
Don't drop that Durka.
Okay? And let's say that a Republican white man had moved the African-American woman out of the top five. Said and lied and said she didn't want the job when she clearly wanted the job. Now, imagine that only after activist groups rise up, only after one of the other white men steps down and says they don't want the job, maybe because they wouldn't be working for Jelly Durka, they'd be working for this clown.
It is an act of war to invest in white supremacy and terrorism with this bunker.
Only then does the white man, in our minds, say, oh, no, no, okay, now Carmen Best, welcome back. This is really strange. But it stands to reason, because when you can't have enough leadership in your spine to say to someone like a, Sally Bagshaw, no, we're not going to buy heroin for people, Sally. I will not allow it. I run the police force. I will tell the police force to arrest anybody delivering this city-purchased heroin that you guys... I'll veto it. I will not allow it in the city. When you don't have enough stones... Oh, sorry. Tom, can you call the National Organization of Spineless Liberal Women? I think that Jelly Durka is still the president of the National Organization of Spineless Liberal Women. Apologize up front for being using the word stones in regard to this segment. Can you do
How
that?
How could you?
That's what I'm saying. I quit.
Yeah.
You walking out in protest. So what I'm saying is, in this case, it makes sense. You can't even lead on the very, very easy stuff. And it is easy to say, no, the taxpayer is not going to be burdened with paying for government-funded heroin dens. No, the taxpayer is not going to be burdened with providing heroin for people. Why would you expect her to be able to lead on something as simple as standing by her decision on who she thought should be chief? And this all comes at the worst possible time. It is phenomenal to look around the city and look around our area. Over the weekend, another DUI. Now, How many DUIs do you think this person will have had? And I bring this up because we're standing here watching an initiative that the Supreme Court, the Seattle Supreme Court, they're going to do everything they can to get this initiative on the ballot. Okay, that is the initiative that takes away, substantively impairs, right against the state constitution, your right to keep and bear arms, doing things like stealing your right to health care privacy. If you decide that you want to apply, beg to purchase a gun, beg Washington State to let you have a weapon, you have to waive your health care privacy. So in a state where we're considering that, we've had now 2 or 3 weeks of people with 5 or more DUI arrests taking lives. One was last year, but there's a settlement. One was just recently. This guy had 5 or 6 DUI convictions over the weekend. A state patrolman was on the side of the road up at Alderwood Mall Parkway Sunday morning doing the job that we hire him to do, and a DUI crashed into this police or this trooper's car. The car moved a bit and it burst into flames. That Jelly Durka can't hire a police chief or stick by her choice for a police chief at a time when we have a demonstrable concern with people smoking pot and driving, getting high and driving, and getting drunk and driving. How is it that we can expect any leadership in law enforcement? We can't. And this is going to lead somewhere no one wants it to lead.
Since 2002, we've reduced the average daily population of young people in the juvenile system at the Youth Services Center from 212 to fewer than 50.
Smack Daddy Del Constantine, also a non-leader. This is all going to lead somewhere we don't want it to lead, right, Heroin Dan Satterberg?
Since 2002, we've reduced the average...
No. I said right, Heroin Dan Satterberg?
Our incarceration rate in the state of Washington is among the 10 lowest in the United States.
Good for you. Over the over Independence Day, and I didn't share this story with you last week. Over Independence Day, we went down to the Des Moines Fireworks Show, which is one of our local shows that we like, and we've used to go there all the time. So, memory's sake, we decided to go back to the Des Moines Fireworks Show. And so we walked down, because it's a mess to drive down to the Des Moines Fireworks Show. And as we're going down this little back trail we use, there was an obviously disturbed, obviously crazy man. Are you like me? Do you get, sometimes you get chills just when you look at somebody and you know they're in bounds? I think I have fairly well-developed radar for this. So, of course, it's like, you know, 10 o'clock at night. It's dark. We're walking down the side path. And there's a guy standing on the street. I can tell by his body language. I can tell by just something transmitted to me. That's a dangerous man. So we walk by him. I made sure my daughter, my wife were on the other side of me. And the guy looks at me and goes, "No smoking, no fireworks down there. No smoking, no fireworks." And I said, "Okay, thank you." And went on. And I'm looking behind me, just making sure. Is the guy back there? I was armed. I had my hand near my weapon. Some other people came along, and he starts to accost them. One of them was wearing a tech shirt for the tech company. And this crazy guy says, "Where's your cloud? In the heads of teenagers? Is your cloud code in the heads of teenagers? Hey, is your cloud code in the heads of teenagers?" So now I'm shuttling my family ahead of me. And I'm wanting the people to get ahead of me, and I want to turn back, but I got a family to think of. So we go down the hill, continue down the hill. Someone had called 911, and here's the difference in this town, in that small town. That guy was put under arrest, and quickly. We came back. They were still processing him. There were 5 or 6 cop cars around there. There was an ambulance on the way, and it's different. Here's what's going to happen in this city and in this area. Carmen Best, if she becomes police chief, will not be working for Jelly Durka. She'll be working for...
It is an act of war to invest in white supremacy and terrorism with this bunker.
She'll be working around...
Amazon is ISIS.
She will be taking orders from not Jelly Durka, since Jelly Durka is unable to give orders. She'll be taking orders from...
The city, we have no plan.
And eventually, this is going to begin to show. We know Jason Rantz broke the story 2 weeks ago about the cops leaving, the young cops, the mid-career cops. Eventually, you reach a breaking point, and it's going to get a group of people hurt by a drunk driver, by a stone driver, or by someone truly insane and criminally insane. Because if that guy who was barking at the moon around us did it in Seattle, He'd just be one more guy on a street corner barking at the moon. Jelly Durka, a failed mayor. I said it months ago, and I was right. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show, get into the live world of breaking news. Really, really only one story today, and we're going to do an extended version of the show. I'm going to stay till 6:30. May have special guests call in as the president announces his nominee to be on the Supreme Court of the United States. Thanks for listening to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. Remember, the text line's open, 800-465-8770, brought to you by None Better Tax Resolution. Text from the last segment: hey, Todd, thanks for playing that Don't Drop That Durka Durka, Don't Drop That Dirk Dirk, because you know you've got me doing it when I'm walking around. I like that it's very catchy. Keep playing it, because it makes me start seeing the same tune out in the street. That's going to get you in trouble. Well, no, I was going to say get you in trouble. But in Seattle, you can walk around saying you're the king of England. You'll be just fine. Let's roll into the national news.
As we speak. The Todd Herman Show is live and local because the power seekers never rest. And political news is breaking as we speak.
Well, I mean, and to be fair, it's not just political news that's breaking. It's the minds of leftists that are breaking. They simply cannot believe that this day is here. And everybody who pushed the Trump train, everybody who got on, I'm not a revisionist in history, right? But I'm deeply thankful for you guys, and I'm deeply thankful for Justice Gorsuch, who told us as we enter into this Supreme Court day. Reiner will extend the show tonight so you can hear the announcement live from the president, and then a little bit of analysis. Remember that Justice Gorsuch, during his hearings, had said if judges were secret legislators, declaring not what the law is, but what they would like it to be, the very idea of government by the people and for the people would be at risk. Well, I would extend that. It would not just be at risk, it would be gone. A law professor named Stephen Mulroy gave a statement on conservatives' concerns about Brett Kavanaugh, one of the final four the president is said to be choosing from, although I'm told he's selected. And I'm told that people think it's going to be Kavanaugh.
He did issue opinions on the Court of Appeals upholding the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, which is a concern for some conservatives.
And my concern runs deeper than that with Kavanaugh. He's great on guns. He's great on a lot of stuff. All these people are very good judges. And the president's correct. He really can't go wrong. My concern with Kavanaugh was the reasoning on this. Obamacare was, now, and always will be unconstitutional. I have the same problem with Kavanaugh that I do with Roberts. The government testified in court it's not a tax. They wrote into the document a fine. The government, Congress does not have the right to fine us, and nor do they have the right until John Roberts gave them the right to tax us, to force us to do something. It's not interstate commerce. Obamacare had nothing to do with interstate commerce because it was regulating commerce that was not happening. These people weren't buying insurance. The fine, because they testified it was not a tax, was to force them to engage in commerce. That's not regulating commerce. That's forcing commerce. It's brutally anti-constitutional, unconstitutional, un-American. It's worse than Social Security, which is at least a government program. At least. I mean, it's a fantastically inefficient, upside-down, crazy, theft-like program that's going to collapse if we don't change something. But at least it's a government program. This is giving or taking money from you and forcing you to give it to a private company. So I'm deeply concerned of that theory. Well, we must have deference. No, not if it's unconstitutional. Obamacare is blatantly unconstitutional. Always was, always will be. And it's not a hard stretch to see it. It's a hard stretch to not see it. I understand the theory of judicial restraint. I really do. That the judiciary shouldn't exist to fix the problems of the legislature. But when American government says, hey, you have to purchase, you got to purchase lettuce. When they can tell you, you have to purchase health care. They can tell you, you have to purchase legumes or a gym membership. It's that crazy. Also, over the weekend, speaking of nuts and craziness, Joy Reid, who apparently has a TV show of some sort or another, she explained that the media, they were enchanted with a certain president and vice president. I was shocked. Admitting this? That the media was enchanted?
He would make up words and people would say, great, that's great. It's his lexicon. Right. It's Sarah Palin, the same sort of thing, where even the media was enchanted with the way she spoke. And that is actually seen as a virtue of Democrats, whereas you would see people disparage President Obama for being almost too erudite and too articulate.
That is a statement that the media found President Bush saying things like strategery, charming. And that they found the way Sarah Palin speaks charming. But they weren't taken with Obama. He was too erudite. This is a media who loved, and it was a conservative who struck up the phrase, the crease of his trousers. Unthinkable that this woman lives in that reality, and yet she does. Back to culture. I think that we legitimately have a claim on starting this guy's run up to fame, Brandon Straka of the Walkaway Movement. I think we were one of the first shows to have him on. My wife discovered him. He's a gay man, born in Nebraska, lived in Nebraska, moved to New York City, says that he's walked away from the Republican Party, or pardon me, the Democrat Party, walked away. He's encouraged other peoples to walk away, particularly gay Americans, to walk away. They become tyrannical, etc. Well, he had himself an experience, another red pill experience, walking into a camera store. He was on Fox News.
I was in a camera store in New York City. I was just trying to buy some technical equipment. And when I went to make my purchase, the salesperson said to me, are you planning to use this equipment for alt-right purposes? And I sort of laughed and I said, alt-right? And he said, well, aren't you with the Walkaway campaign? And I said, yes, I am. And he said, I'm sorry, I can't sell to you. I don't support that and I can't sell to you.
There you go. Brandon, further evidence. We've talked to other people who've walked away. Lastly, Dick Blumenthal, who, of course, as you know, lied about his experience in Vietnam on the SCOTUS vote.
Our colleagues know they're going to have to answer to history for this vote.
Yep. Yep. We can't wait. We cannot wait to say, you're welcome. We cannot wait. Say, you're welcome for 20 years of stability, of by absolutely looking at what the law says, not what you feel on a certain day. It's a great answer. Great answer to history. Welcome back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. The attack on Jim Jordan. There's one name that you need to know in this attack, and it should color, really should, everything you think about this attack on Jim Jordan. One name. Thanks for listening to the Todd Herman Show. Text line's open, 800-465-8770, brought to you by None Better Tax Resolution. Wow, scared me to death. I thought everything just stopped, but I disappeared into the ether. That's a tricky bump. This attack on Jim Jordan, you've been paying attention to this. I waited. I didn't say anything about it last week because I knew more was going to come out. Jim Jordan is having to fight off these attacks that he somehow knew about sexual abuse. Some people have called molestation at Ohio State. And I can address this from one perspective, that is that I've spent a lot of time in wrestling rooms. I've spent time as a wrestling coach. I've spent time as a wrestler. I've spent time in locker rooms. And I spent time in those arenas, but, you know, between in the 80s and I guess close to the 90s, but mostly through the 80s. These charges are old, but there's one name connected to this, which led me to believe it's a total hit job. That one name is, I understand the law firm Perkins Coie is involved in this. Now, this saddens me because Perkins Coie, at one time, we had one of their litigators work for us. She was tremendous, one of the best litigators I've ever seen. And she represented us in a case that didn't go anywhere because the case was ridiculous against us to begin with. We were sued by some people who helped us write a business plan back in the day. And they walked away asking for $50 million and then begged us to pay for their plane tickets home. Literally, it was that bad. So, the Perkins Coie of today, in my judgment, they are nothing more than a money laundering firm, period. It's not even law. As I see it with Perkins Coie, I mean, when you are working with Fusion GPS, which are just bottom feeders of the worst sort of DC variety, these are lie shoppers, these are paid oppo hitmen, and a law firm has no business in that. A law firm is not in the business of opposition research. A law firm that, does a lot of corporate business shouldn't be in those arenas. The only reason they get involved in these things is to launder the money. And I mean launder the money. So donors don't have to disclose that they're paying for a hit job on Jim Jordan because attorney-client privilege. So that's one name to me that threw this into complete doubt. But another thing about these circumstances, Jordan wasn't the head coach. He didn't run the athletic department. He was an assistant coach. And further, we need to understand what the charges are. Jordan addressed a little bit of this.
The head coach, Russ Helixson, would at times have to physically drag these gawkers out because they were looking at your wrestlers showering and doing various things, and that you, as the number two, would do that as well.
I never drug anyone out. I will tell you, our Larkins Hall was one of the largest intramural facilities in the country, on one of the largest campuses in the country. Our wrestling locker room was separate, but the shower facility was part of the general population for the students, the faculty, professors, and staff, and everyone could shower there. So, but again, never saw any type of abuse there and never drug anyone out.
So these are some of the charges he's having to answer for 28 years later as an assistant coach. Now, here's the detail that matters. What was the sexual abuse? Okay. Let me just break this down for you. I don't know any wrestler at an Ohio State level. I mean, if you're wrestling in that program, you are as physically imposing and as physically tough as a human being can be. I could be way off track here. Someone will correct me if I'm wrong. You will. I fail to believe that a wrestler could be molested. I could be wrong. A college wrestler, little kids, young kids pressured into it, high school kids pressured into it. Certainly, I understand that. I understand the power of authority. I understand the trickery involved with that. I understand the grooming. I get that. I do. But that causes me to question this in detail. The other thing is this, the nature of the abuse. Now, I'm going to go into some things that are a little bit uncomfortable. Okay, but you've seen these things, and tell me if you've not. I talked about this on Twitter over the weekend. You can tweet me at Toddy Herman or hit me up on the text line, 800-465-8770. In my time in locker rooms, particularly in wrestling locker rooms, I witnessed a boy urinate on another boy. Boy had his eye, the victim, so to speak, had his eyes closed, was washing his hair, and this buffoon decided to urinate on this boy. And of course, some of the boys laughed. Others of us pushed the guy, knock it off, get away from him. And the so-called victim, and I guess he was a victim, what did he do? He opened his eyes and he wanted to fight the guy. Okay, and they fought. And the guy who urinated got beat up. Did anyone go to the coach? No. No, I don't know that the coach ever knew. I saw older wrestlers take younger wrestlers down and rub their man parts in the younger wrestlers' faces. And it was gross, and it was humiliating, and no one went to the coaches because many people had been through it. I always found it disgusting, really, honestly, that act of, some people would call it hazing. It's not hazing. It's very rapey, to use a modern phrase, that you would do that to somebody. I saw kids taped to weight benches and removed, have their pubic hair removed. I mean, it's horrific. No one went to the coaches. I saw a boy one night. This is life threatening. Who had been trying to lose weight in a rubber suit, and some of the kids got sick of him talking about having to suck down weight, so they rolled him up in the wrestling mat. And they left him in the room in a rubber suit in the hot wrestling room. Now, in that case, right, we went and got him out because we realized he could die in there. He could die. We went and got him out. No one told the coaches. I was aware, and I will never say who this was because the young woman made us promise to never say. And maybe that's wrong. And certainly back in the day, we should have said something. I was aware of a coach of a certain school who was in a hotel room late at night, after a certain wrestling tournament with a cheerleader from a school. We saw her leave his room. They were both in bathrobes. And she told us, please, I'm begging you, don't say anything. I'm begging you, don't say anything. And we made the decision to not say anything. We should have said something, but we didn't. It wasn't reported. So Jordan saying, I was unaware. If you were to come back and take those incidences, like the rolling the kid up on the mat, or like removing the pubic hair, like giving someone fake hickeys where you trap them down on the ground and you pinch them with your fingers until they've got horrible-looking fake hickeys all over their body. And I could go into worse detail of things that happened. I didn't see, but I heard about. Those things then were hazing, right? I forget what we called it. We didn't call it hazing. Initiation. It was initiation. Those things then were initiation. They were awful, and people feared them. And I don't believe I ever went through that. I'm thinking back to see if I ever like had an initiation. I think the worst thing that happened to me is I got trapped when I was a sophomore. I got trapped by three big, strong, older seniors, and they beat me up. They just beat me up in the wrestling room. And that was really bad, but it wasn't the humiliating sort of sexual thing. So did Jordan look at these things and say, that's sex abuse? Did he look at these things and say that's sexual harassment? Did he look at those things and say that's assault? If it's 28 years ago, if it's 10 years ago, if it's 15 years ago, none of it becomes okay. None of it becomes celebratory. None of it does. But also an assistant coach doesn't run the program, doesn't control the program, and may not even cognate, may not even recognize that behavior as criminal or problematic. Well, problematic, yes. Criminal or sexual assault, no. Because we were calibrated differently at that point. I got emails over the weekend. I got text messages over the weekend. I got tweets over the weekend from folks who were in the military saying, wait, it really depends on the treatment. Do you know what we went through? I can't even say some of the things that people said they went through in the military, the way they were treated. And we didn't go to the authorities because at the time you didn't go to the authorities. At the time you sort of handled it on your own. The presence of Perkins Coie in this, in my judgment, disqualifies it. Because Perkins Coie does one thing for one side, as I see it. Two things. They launder money and they launder hit pieces. They launder the hit pieces because it's hard to sue a law firm in that way. Text line 4752, I don't want to tell you what we did in the military. I've had a lot of people say that. I have. Maybe some people will admit it. Maybe some of you will admit the abuse you put on others or that was put on you. It matters in this case because in my judgment, it's an attempt to take down Jim Jordan because Jim Jordan is being effective in the investigation of the IG and pushing back against the FBI. And Perkins Coie, in my judgment, they know that the FBI has taken a reputational hit. They know that the American people don't believe in Russia, the Russia collusion. They know that the American people no longer trust the FBI. I'd like to know who hired Perkins Coie to do this. I'd like to know who's paying, but of course we don't get to because of attorney-client privilege. A last bit on this is that six coaches now have come out in defense of Jim Jordan. They've come out and said that the statements that have been made about Jordan are not true, that Jordan's a stand-up guy, and that he didn't know, and if he did know of actual abuse, he would have stopped it. Jordan has said they've got whole lists of people that will stand to his defense. But for me, the name Perkins Coie, for me, disqualifies it entirely. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH and get into just a few more things. A quick arrangement of news-like items laid out into audio feng shui mode. One quick programming reminder. We extended the show tonight so you can hear the president's announcement of the latest Supreme Court nominee live. So that'll be at about 6 o'clock. So we call this little feature just a few more things, but I can't say it. Who am I? It's a rodeo clown. We paid a big New York voice to say it.
Just a few more things.
And we paid him to number the items. Actually, we number the items. We paid him to say the numbers. So every day at about this time, he calls in. We put him on the line. He numbers the items. You there?
Thing one.
See? So he's on the line with us. Sometimes a theme emerges. This time it's about people getting gored. Gored. I didn't think I'd ever say that on a political talk radio show. Gored. An Army vet, Walt Dean King, was out looking at a car that was for sale. And a bull had gotten loose.
I remember feeling the horn go into my right side. And then the next thing I knew, I was on the ground and close to a bush. And I crawled in between the bush and the house. and the bull stood over me and snorted for at least 20 minutes.
Now, he's an Army vet, and he's going to be okay, and he's able to laugh this off, but he's just shopping for a car. Strangest things can happen. Sometimes you get gored out in public, like...
Thing two.
College students. These college students standing there in a street corner, and they got unexpectedly gored by their own arrogant ignorance, pretending that they know who the Supreme Court nominee of the president is, even though it's not happened yet.
What's your reaction to the justice that he nominated today?
I'm honestly not surprised by his choice, but that's just worse for us.
I just saw the pick, and I was like, it's almost at a point where you kind of expect that it's not going to be what you want.
He's quite, extreme in his views, and I don't know if it would make the Supreme Court very even.
Just standing there. Right? And all of a sudden, up comes their arrogance, and their arrogance bumps into their ignorance, and their ignorance just gores them right in their old noggin, right on the TV. Next stop, oh, that's from Campus Reform, by the way. Very good group. Used to work with them. CampusReform.org. Next stop, just a few more things.
Thing three.
So, a leftist comedian. Nameless leftist comedian, who basically, her shtick is she goes out and pimps bottom-dragging shock value vulgarity. But she's actually goring the left with these comments. She's actually goring their electoral choices.
Access to abortion is good and important. Some people say abortion is killing a baby. It's not. It's stopping a baby from happening. It's like Back to the Future, and abortion is the DeLorean. And I know some people call themselves pro-life. But pro-life is a propaganda term that isn't real, like healthy ice cream and handsome testicles.
That's funny, isn't it? Isn't that funny? Now, you see, you take people who are reasonable. You take reasonable Democrats. And they listen to something like that. You take people who've had abortions. And it's a serious issue. And those of us who are pro-life, of course, we're convinced that that's a disgusting thing to say. But people who've been through this, you think they saw it as an ice cream cone? Now, people like her like them to see it that way. And it's not stopping a life? Well, we know that's a lie. And she knows it's a lie. She's goring the left. Not us. And not the cause of pro-life. Next up, just a few more things.
Thing four.
So Ted Lieu, this guy who's a non-entity in Congress, has never accomplished anything. He gets paid for being anti-Trump. That's it. He's on the TV because he was the first to say impeach the president. He goes out. He gets gored in a different way.
Democrats who have said this are not saying abolish ICE and do nothing. What they're saying is we should have a new agency that has principles and values more consistent with what the American people believe. That means not terrorizing communities, not ripping kids and babies away from their parents.
He's goring himself and the Democrat Party because the American people are in favor and in great numbers in favor of the actual mission of ICE. Last up, just a few more things.
Thing five.
Dick Durbin, who the great Rush Limbaugh named Little Dick Durbin. He got gored by Dick Durbin.
I understand you want to point out hypocrisy on McConnell's side, but there's hypocrisy on your side on this too, right? Do you think if it was wrong to delay in 2016, is it wrong to delay now?
Well, come on, Chuck. Get real.
Can we agree that if you ever find yourself on the national TV and you're faced with a question and your response is, get real, you got gored? Yeah, you got gored. Todd Emmer Show continue with yet more local news. Just a few minutes.